to come. You know, that's why you write books and you write novels and you have TV series about it. And then that one ordinary, usually it's an ordinary guy, usually it's a guy that doesn't have a lot of things going on for him. That one ordinary guy is called, and that one ordinary guy goes, maybe gets some of his friends, and then reluctantly saves the world. Well, you know, the story of Noah here, I believe Noah was just a normal guy, and he did something that was extraordinary. So when we're going to look at a little bit this, maybe in the next number of weeks, I know I won't be in Sunday school teaching the next 2 weeks because of Brother Sis and Brother Odison. But you think about it, you know, God uses ordinary people. There's a difference. Okay, so the word ordinary, what does the word ordinary mean? I think about the word ordinary, I think about a person that is no special distinctive features, just normal, uninteresting, commonplace. And you think about it, most parents don't say, man, I hope my kid grows up to be ordinary. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being ordinary. Most of us have simple. Hopefully, we like it when there's normal and when there's not happening in our lives. Nothing wrong with being ordinary. But God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. You put those five different letters, the E-X-T-R-A, and you go from being ordinary to being something ordinary, which means going beyond what is usual, going beyond what is regular, going beyond what is customary. The thought process of the lessons in the next number of weeks are going to be ordinary people that God used to do extraordinary things by just simply doing one character trait or being faithful one character trait. What did Noah do that was so special? He obeyed God. Now, when Noah was there and he was preaching, he had all the opportunities, all these different things. He had to follow the Lord. It was built obedience, extraordinary or extraordinary obedience is something that was built up over the years, probably through resistance and all those different other things. But Noah here was a man that did not stand out more than anything else, but just being ordinary. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 6, and let's go ahead and read a little bit about the story. We're not going to talk about the big boat, and that's a really interesting study, and it's amazing. Most commentators and most people I read feel like it is probably the big boat at that point in time. And there was no water. There was no rain that had been. When God says, I want you to go and sing this monstrous type thing. I was trying to say monstrosity, but I didn't know if I could get it out right. This monstrosity of something, and it's like, he's like, you want me to do what? But let's look here. Genesis chapter 6, let's look in verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for they repent of me that I have made them. Now, verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the Lord. Now, that word grace means. Look what a description that's there. These are the generations. Next. So we see here what Noah has done. Doesn't say Noah is this expert builder, that Noah is some type of engineer, that Noah is, it says Noah was a just man and perfect. Now, the word perfect is not referring to he never makes a mistake, because that just doesn't happen when it comes to a human being. It speaks of the maturity. It speaks of being a well-rounded, mature individual in their faith and in their belief and trust in God. So he is perfect. Now, the world has gotten to be so bad and so wrong, God is, I want to destroy the world because of the sin and the wickedness. He begins to give a description of the generations that were. Go down to verse number 11. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without and with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of the 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. And then we're going to drop down, because he gives some instructions found in verses 16 through 21. But we want to focus at Noah's response here. Verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded. So look at that verse. You see that there's faith that's involved with that. And this is what made Noah able to do the act. Mary God. Ask God's help this morning, then we'll jump right in. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. God, help us to see some extraordinary through individuals that were just ordinary. Lord, nothing wrong with being but it's amazing what we can become with you and through you. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to see some of these different character traits. Noah's obedience here, and we're impressed because of how you were able to use that in a way that changed the world and saved his family. Lord, speak through our hearts today about being obedient and not looking to the future saying, oh, wow, I can't do the extraordinary, but instead help us to look to be faithful in our obedience so we can be an individual that you can use to do extraordinary things. In Jesus' name, amen. Actual end of the world event that was getting ready to happen. You have your first, in a sense, hero that's going to be here, that's going to save the whole world. It's Noah. You know, they write comic books about these things, and this is not a comic book. This is real. He's building a structure bigger than anyone has ever seen, collecting animals, all the animals in existence. He's herding them with his family into the ark. This would be a month after month, year after year project. It would be something that had to be done extraordinary. So what made it from ordinary to extraordinary? It was obedience. Look what it says in verse number 22 again. Look at all these. Thus did Noah, according to all that God had commanded him, and so did he. You see that word said, it's repeated there. Thus did Noah, and so did he. It was not something that he had done in the past, and he stopped doing it now. He says, this is what he did, and this is what he continued doing. Another word I think is interesting in verse number 22 is the word found all that God commanded him. I don't think many of us have a problem doing some of the things that God commands us. They are normal, and they are natural, and they're in front of other people. So because of that, our obedience sometimes depends upon the things that other people see us do and the things that we think are right and the things that we think are justified. That's not what God is saying about Noah. He's saying that Noah became an ordinary guy that was used in an extraordinary way because he did it, he was doing it, he is currently doing it, things that God had commanded. I don't know about you, but that's a great testimony. I don't know if all of us could actually say, hey, that's my testimony today or this past week. I did all the things I knew God wanted me to do. If that's the case, a person that God can use. And God can use in an extraordinary way. A life of obedience is a life that understands both how to obey God as well as why we should obey God. It's not just knowing how. It's understanding why we should obey God. The first thing I want you to think is the first point is extraordinary obedience flows from faith. Extraordinary obedience flows from faith. You say, well, where do you get this extraordinary obedience? Where do you get to be like Noah, where you come to a spot that in your life doing some of the things, but doing all the things that God had done, also going to do all those things in the future. I want to be obedient like that. It begins with faith. It ends with faith. It's a faith-filled thing. It's, do I have faith to believe and trust in God, what God's done? It says in verse 4, it says, but Noah found word. And then it says in verse number 9 that he was just and perfect in his generations. Not testify about Noah's life in order to praise him. These verses testify to help him understand that how do we get that unmerited favor that God offers us? It's through faith. Grace goes to the undeserving. And here we see Noah began as a man in need of grace, but that he could not earn on his own. Yes, he was just. Yes, he was perfect. But we all know Noah was a sinner. Noah cannot get to God on his own. Noah cannot earn his way to heaven. It is by having faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Or even back in the Old Testament, we think of the faith that was in God. Now you say, well, you're just speculating. Well, if you go all the way to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7, the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You think about it, he's saying the reason why he was willing to be obedient wasn't because he saw the water coming. He started building that ark a long time ago. The reason why he continued in that obedience was because of the fact that the rain was stored. No. He had all these things, and the Bible says it was by faith. So how do we become someone? You say, Pastor, I like to be ordinary. I don't like my life to be too exciting. I don't care if my life's uninteresting. I bet you some of you feel that way. But that's not what we want our walk to God be with. That's not what we want for our lives when we want to try to win people to Christ. We want to be used in an extraordinary way on God's side. Now, if you want to be a plain, ordinary person in your day-to-day life, great, go for it. That's kind of, I wouldn't mind that. Too much excitement sometimes gives you heartburn. But you think about it, but all those other times, God says, you know what? I can use you to do something that's supernatural. I can use you do something that's extraordinary. Hey, aren't we thankful that Noah, he was someone that was willing to be used by God in an extraordinary way? I don't know about you. I'm thankful for the person who came to me and invited my mom and dad to church at different times. And the story about the guy that got up and preached tonight, that God spoke to my heart and I became a Christian. I'm thankful for those that stepped out by faith. They weren't willing to say, well, I'll let somebody else do that. The people that said, let somebody else do that, they died in the flood. Here, the extraordinary that Noah had it because of the faith. The point here is that Noah's extraordinary obedience, it flowed from faith. It flowed from a relationship with God. Like we talked about on Wednesday night about Enoch and Enoch's walk with God. It begins with a relationship, and that relationship begins with faith and a belief. And as you have that relationship and you have that faith, that's where the walk goes. But also, as you can see, this is where Noah's obedience was at. To understand that our obedience should not come from a sense of debt, should not become from a sense of fear or punishment. Those things are very bad motivations when you're serving God. Sometimes people want to actually live this way, and there's been, I'm sure, different times, sit there and say, I don't want to disobey God because of the fact that if I don't obey him, he's not going to bless me. That if I don't go to church this Sunday, he's going to send the lightning bolt down. If I don't go to church this Sunday, then maybe someone in my family is going to get sick. All those different things, those things are foolishness. Yes, there are circumstances that God uses to bring us back into a fellowship. Realizes us when we've done wrong, but we don't serve God for those reasons. We don't be obedient to God because of that. We don't feel like we're going to be disenfranchised just because of the fact that we haven't done. No. Those things in our Christian lives will cause people to become fearful. They will become fatigued, and oftentimes they will ultimately fail in their Christian walk because they're not serving for the right reasons. Those are the people that are home this morning instead of serving the Lord, instead of being in church in a Sunday school, wanting to hear about God and wanting to learn about God. Instead, their motivating factor at one point in their life went from being the love of Christ and what Christ did for me and the fact that he is God and I want to serve him to the point was, well, if I don't do this, then I might get in trouble. Sooner or later, you're going to become tired. You're going to become fatigued. And the scriptures and the commandments of God and the learning of God is not something afresh and it's not something anew. It becomes something that is a burden and becomes a hassle. And they begin growing farther and farther and farther away from God and farther away from loving the Lord for the right and doing the things for the right reasons to the point that they give up and they throw in. When we realize the beauty of our relationship with God, when we understand that it's made possible through Jesus' work on the cross and his acceptance of and our acceptance of his payment on our behalf, it's made possible that we are standing before God and through the righteousness of Christ. And when we get to that, we're on our way to heaven. When we understand where our relationship came from and the purpose of it, we should be happy. We should be joyful. Something like that should cause us to want to get excited and get excited in serving the Lord and realize that our obedience is not a payment for what he did. Our obedience instead is something because we love him because of what he did. Think about what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Now, Paul did not say, "Because my great big love for Jesus guides and keeps me, I'm going to keep on serving him." He didn't. He says, "Because of how much I care and how much I love, you know, look at all that I've done." That would be being boastful. But instead, Paul says, "It's the love of Christ that constrains me. It's the love of Christ that stops me from doing certain things and keeps me on to doing other things. It's not based off the fact that of what I did or what I can do. It's Jesus' love for me and the beautiful relationship that God I have with the Lord that keeps me wanting to press on. It's the obedience here. Noah here was walking with the Lord, it says at the end of verse number 9. He's someone he cared about, someone he loved, and he was just an ordinary guy. I think at the end of his life, if someone said, "Man, you did something extraordinary," I think he would say, "I was just faithful. I just obeyed God. God came to me and told me to do that, and he's the one that did all the work." So extraordinary flows from faith. Extraordinary grows through resistance. Extraordinary obedience grows through resistance. You think about the world's getting ready to end, and it's a matter of days or weeks. What do? There's always some type of resistance. There's always some type of work that has to happen. There's always some type of job that is done. And you think about in this story here, Noah, this announcement that he had, it wasn't like he was going to build this ark and then poof, in just a few days, everything was going to be done. It says in 2 Peter 2:5, I had to look it up here because of the fact that it was on my PowerPoint earlier. In 2 Peter 2:5, it speaks of how he was a preacher of righteousness. And it's something that he did for over 100 years, he would preach. It says in 2 Peter 2:5, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Now, I want you to picture how bad things were back in the day of Noah. Things were so bad in the days of Noah, one to destroy the flood. He said that because of the violence that's in the earth. Luke 17:26 said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." Some people say, "Oh, no, no, it was probably really, really not as bad back then as it is today." I think it was even worse back then. And even all the way back then, and Noah's there, and can you imagine Noah being a preacher in that day and time? Preaching for over 100 years about righteousness, preaching for over 100 years there's a flood coming. Could you imagine the ridicule he probably faced? Could you imagine the things that were probably said to him? Could you imagine the I don't know about today, the day and time we live in, people give me a hard time if I preach about something they don't like. I couldn't imagine being the only preacher, because you said, why do you say he's the only preacher? Everybody else died in the flood. There wasn't anybody else except for maybe his sons up there, you know, thundering forth the word of God. There was Noah. Maybe some of the Methuselahs or other ones, you know, maybe they did walk and maybe they were gone before the flood came. That's speculation, but there wasn't any, and there was people that was there. And they were, he said, "Well, Pastor, it was only 8 generations." Well, you think about it, they didn't die for 900 years. There was billions of people on the earth when this flood happened, in my mind. And it's something that we got to consider in this story. Noah's up there, and his faith is becoming extraordinary through resistance. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, sometimes when we step out to do something by faith, we take a step, and you know what? Who's going to resist us? The devil is. And the devil might use your family, the devil might use your friend, the devil might use someone that you're around, but, you know, it's the devil. We learned about that in that last series about helping with our evil thoughts. You know, the devil is the one that's going to, and when we step out and we do something for God and we want to live for God, sooner or later, normally sooner rather than later, you're going to find resistance. But our faith continues, and as it continues, it becomes extraordinary. Noah here, it wasn't probably easy for Noah to tell God, "Okay, I'll build the ark." Could you imagine being Mr. Noah going home and telling his wife, "God called me to build an ark"? And after he explained to him what an ark was and explained to him what rain was, I don't know if no one knew all that anyway, but he's explaining, he says, I'm sure there was questions there. I'm sure, what about this? I don't know, when there's something going on and I tell my wife, and my wife's like, well, what about this? What about this? And I don't know. Sometimes it's just stepping out by faith. And here, there would have been resistance. Resistance day after day, moment after moment with this faith. I'm sure you can imagine the resistance and the continuing mocking that Noah faced. In order to finish the project, in spite of the resistance he encountered, Noah had to consistently obey for a very long period of time. Many times when I think about resistance, I think about, and this might not connect with you, might connect with some, think about a diet. Sometimes, you know, when you're on a diet, resistance is something that you're going to face when you stop eating sugar. You know, your body wants that sugar, and you have to resist, and you're going to feel the tension you're going to feel. And even in a step farther, you think about exercise. How does your body get stronger is when you begin to resist those different things. When you're working out with weights, the point is that as you're resisting and doing what making your body stronger, you have to exercise it. And as you're there walking on a treadmill or lifting up a weight or running or exercising, many times your body is going to feel like it's something that doesn't want to do it. They don't want to take that next step. You don't want to get up the next morning, especially after the first day of exercise. You wake up out of bed, it's time to get up and exercise again. You're thinking, my body hurts, my body aches, there is resistance there. Don't want to get up and don't want to do what you're supposed to do. But in order to make a difference in diet and exercising, you have to do it for more than one day. I don't know how many times I've done it for one day, and I gave up. And you know how much difference it made? Nothing. It actually probably hurt me more than it helped me, because I felt like I was justified to do nothing for the next week because I exercised one day, or I had one good day of eating. That means for a week I can drink as much Mountain Dew as I want. But all those different things, resistance is something that will make our faith from being ordinary to extraordinary. As you continue to walk by faith, as Noah, as he began to build that first beam or that first whatever to create the ark, and he faced that resistance time and time again, it became something that would develop. The point is, obedience is the course. Obedience grows in the course of resistance. You can't see success as you challenge your body to do what you thought it couldn't do. You can't see success in a Bible reading plan if you never push past convenience or a busy schedule to stay in the Bible for just more than one day and say, I'm going to do it one more day. A famous philosopher said, the path of least resistance leads to crooked rivers and crooked men. Obedience is never easy, but like a muscle, it is developed as we oppose the pressure to quit. As those who live extraordinary lives have learned the value of sticking with it, and sticking with it even though sometimes things will get tough. And sometimes exercise can truly be painful. There's that famous saying, no pain, no gain, right? And so it's the same thing with our faith. If we continue to take an ordinary guy that wants to live for the Lord, we're faced with, I just want to obey. That means obeying past the resistance. It means obeying and doing what's right no matter what you come up against. Last but not least, extraordinary obedience flows from faith, and extraordinary obedience also grows through resistance. Extraordinary obedience shows in time. It shows in time. You think about it. I wonder how many people thought Noah was right when the flood came. Now, they probably didn't when the water first started. You know, the preacher can't be right. Yeah, that wild man, crazy man. I can only imagine if they had newspapers back there, what they said about Noah. Thankfully, they probably didn't have late night TV hosts back then that could make jokes about Noah. You know, but you would have thought about the things that were said. Yeah, don't go up to that mountain. That crazy man's up there. But you think about it. In the end, the extraordinary obedience, it showed. Everyone knew it. Everyone knew the truth. Sometimes you wonder whether or not your message is really getting through to people. as a pastor, when you preach and you teach week after week, sometimes you're wondering, are they actually getting it? Some people have an anticipated look on their face, and some people look like, no matter what you say, you're not going to bless us. But I wonder if the Bible said, it's a faithfully teaching and preaching the Word of God that we hope makes a difference. You imagine what it must have been like for Noah, thinking about all those people that was going against him, all those people that would have been saying, yeah, he's crazy. And it may have taken over 120 years, but in this time of obedience, Noah was vindicated. The Bible says, Noah being warned of God of things not yet seen. He did not fully understand those things, but he did as God commanded. In the end, his obedience, the promise of the rain came. Obedience did not just impact him. You think about it, his obedience not only impacted him and impacted his family. He had his wife there and his three sons and the three daughter-in-laws. Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because the waters of the flood. Noah's obedience saved his entire family. All their lives are changed because of him. And there are a lot of ways that if we will just step out by faith and say, even though sometimes people might not understand right now, down the road, God will show us faithful. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes we learn something as we get older. Those things that our mom and dads used to teach us, we thought they were crazy and they were outdated and they were older and they didn't understand what reality was. And then you become 30 and 35 and 40 and 45, and you remember those things that your mom and dad taught you, and they don't seem as crazy anymore. Sometimes they say, I hope your kids are just like you, things like that. It's because, you learn things, and over the years, many times the things that your parents try to teach you, not always, but many times what they try to teach you, the value of a good work ethic, the value of a dollar, the value of this, the value of that, that as you get older, you realize mom and dad was right. It showed over years. And even though obedience to God might not seem important today, and obedience to God might seem like no one understands, no one cares, it's not making any difference. It was the extraordinary obedience that showed over time with Noah that every single person that was not on that ark, according to what the Bible teaches, perished in the flood. He was vindicated. He was shown to be right and true. Why is it? Is it because he was more than an ordinary guy? Was it because he was this great skillsman or craftsman? Who knows? He may have been. Was it because of... No, he was... walked with the Lord. And like I said, if you sat back and you sat down and talked to Noah face to face, I don't know what you would ask him. I might ask him what it would have been like on that ark for all those days. But at the same time, you say, okay, Noah, why did God choose you? Now, why did God allow you to do these things? He said, he might say something like, I did exactly what you could do. Just obey. Day after day. If Noah was able to preach a message to us today, I think it might have something to do with his family. But I think more importantly, I think it might say, just obey God. The way to know God's purpose and plan for your life is no different now than it was in Noah's day. We listen to God's word, we remain faithful, and we trust in him. God literally took the time to have his words recorded in the Bible. He tells us where to be obedient. He tells us how to be obedient. He tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He tells us his word is settled in heaven. He tells us heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And if we remember, I say, Pastor, I want to be used by God. Yes. How does it happen? It's when we learn to just be obedient to him. Now, I don't know what Noah understood all that was going to happen those days, but Noah decided one thing. He was, I think, probably an ordinary guy, like many of these guys are going to look at in these upcoming weeks, men and ladies. There was just something he did really well, and what Noah did really well was he obeyed. How good are we at obeying? Now, we get upset if our kids don't obey. We don't understand why our grandkids won't obey, and then we see our animals, sometimes our dogs or cats, we get mad when they don't listen to us. But how well do we listen? Noah was simply obedient to God. God took care of everything else. Now, you might say, I never ever want to be a guy that has to build an ark and preach for 120 years and be used by God like that. That's not for you. Let God choose for you. But the only way you're ever going to let God choose for you is if you learn how to obey in every area. Remember what it said? He did it, and so did, but he obeyed all the commandments of God. Don't shortchange yourself and your future by not being obedient to the Lord. Let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these people.